Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the first time here at Emmanuel that we've ever observed what are called the Ember Days, since our diocese recently has begun encouraging their observance. I won't go into a long explanation of it here this evening. They occur 4 times a year during each of the 4 seasons of the year, and they emphasize the themes of repentance and prayer and fasting and charitable works and the fundamental teachings of the Small Catechism, which is basically the same as the emphasis of the seasons of Advent and Lent, which is why we have purple on the altar and on the pastor and on the pulpit for most of the Ember Day seasons. But just as with the saints' days when they occur in the calendar, we gather not so much to talk about the saint, but to focus again on the scripture reading that's before us for that day. So with these Ember Days, we'll do the same as another opportunity to gather around God's Word and consider another portion of scripture that we wouldn't otherwise hear throughout the course of the lectionary in the church year. Next week, we will celebrate St. Michael's Day on September 29th on Wednesday. And this Ember Day and its second lesson especially are good preparation for that St. Michael and All Angels Day, when we'll hear about the Scripture's teachings about angels and about demons, of whom we encounter one in Mark's Gospel tonight. It was right after the transfiguration of Jesus, the next day, in fact, a father had approached Jesus' disciples first in his absence and had asked them to help him with his son. Maybe this was the 9 disciples who remained while Jesus went up the Mount of Transfiguration with the other 3, Peter, James, and John. In any case, the man had a son who was tormented by a demon since he was a child. And the demon would take hold of him, throw him down to the ground, and cause him to foam at the mouth and gnash his teeth and become stiff. It sounds very much like that neurological disease that we know as epilepsy, except that it wasn't that. It was something malicious. It was something that intended to harm the man. As the father explains, it would cast him into fire if there were fire nearby, or cast him into water in order to drown him. It was a demon, an unclean spirit, whose goal was to make people's life miserable here on earth. In this case, it wasn't only the demon-afflicted man who was made miserable. His father was too. So he came to Jesus' disciples begging for help. They had helped people with demons in the past. Jesus had previously sent them out to preach and teach in his name and to do miracles, including casting out demons. And after one of their journeys, they returned to Jesus exulting, joyful, excited, because they said, "Even the demons submitted to us." But this one didn't. That prompted an argument among some of the scribes who were present, who were likely accusing Jesus' disciples and Jesus himself of being imposters. See, they couldn't do this miracle. That's when Jesus showed up and asked for an explanation. So the father explained to Jesus that it was because the disciples couldn't cast out this demon from his son. Then Jesus spoke those words of great and reasonable frustration. "Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" Now, who here was showing unbelief? Well, practically everyone around Jesus. The scribes, to be sure, who saw the failed miracle attempt and immediately used it to prove Jesus a fake. The father, who shows how weak his faith is with his words, "If you can do anything." Also, the demon-afflicted man himself, as far as we know from Scripture, the demons wouldn't have been able to afflict him bodily as they did if he had been steadfast in the faith. And Jesus' own disciples. Matthew's gospel makes that very clear. When they had asked Jesus why they couldn't cast this demon out, Jesus' first words to them in Matthew's account are, "Because of your unbelief." Now, the Lord showed much patience towards sinners in their weaknesses. But here he shows that even the patience of God wears thin when people try to force him over and over and over again to prove his faithfulness, to prove his own trustworthiness, to prove his ability to help. Jesus' words should sting. "How long shall I put up with you?" We tempt God. We put him to the test when we doubt his goodness and love and frantically try to make him prove it yet again instead of giving up, instead of unbelieving, instead of being still and knowing that he is God, as Psalm 46 says. But Jesus didn't refuse to help just because he was surrounded by so much unbelief. He said, "Bring him to me." And then we see more evidence that this was no ordinary illness, because when the unclean spirit saw Jesus, it caused the man to fall down and go into convulsions. Jesus asked the man's father about his condition, not because he couldn't have accessed that information through his own divinity, but because he wanted to show the care and compassion of a physician, and also because he wanted to expose the weakness of the father's faith, to confront and to admit his own problem, so that Jesus could heal him too. "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus identifies the issue and puts his finger on the problem. "If you can believe, all things are possible for the one who believes." Any prayer that begins, "God, if you exist," or "God, if you can hear me," is a worthless prayer, because it starts from a position of doubt and unbelief. It's just like saying, "God, I don't know if you exist. I may be talking to the air right now. I don't know if you can help. You may be just as powerless as I am." As James puts it in his epistle, "Let a person ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Now, by nature, that father couldn't have believed in Jesus for help or for salvation. But that doesn't excuse his unbelief, just as it doesn't excuse ours. The fact that a severely drunk person can't drive perfectly straight down the highway doesn't excuse his erratic driving. But Jesus' own spirit-filled words are powerful to coax faith out of the man, to persuade him, to change his doubt into at least a weak faith. "Lord, I believe. help my unbelief. All things are possible, Jesus told the man. That doesn't mean God will do whatever a person believes God will do, as long as he believes it strongly enough. It means that God will do whatever he says he will do, and it means that God is always trustworthy and to be trusted, and able to help in any and every situation. He can literally do anything. If there is an if that we should ever use, it's the if that that leper once spoke to Jesus, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Not if you can, but if you are willing. That's a good prayer. And the Father's prayer was also a good prayer that he followed up with, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." He said it with tears. He was desperate. He had given up on every other remedy. He had faith in Jesus, but he knew his faith was very weak, mixed with unbelief. And he knew he couldn't make it any stronger. Only Jesus could. And that's always the way it is. So he asked, he prayed earnestly for that gift, and Jesus granted it. He commanded the demon to come out of the man's son, and the demon had to obey. Then the disciples question, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" And as Matthew records, Jesus replied, "Because of your unbelief." And then Matthew and Mark both record the other reason. This kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. In other words, when they had tried to cast it out, as they had done at other times successfully, but this time it didn't work immediately, they gave up. They stopped believing in the authority Jesus had given them, and instead they relied on themselves and their own power, which wasn't working and didn't work. But this is a special kind of demon, Jesus says, one that he, Jesus, can cast out immediately with a word, but one that can otherwise only be cast out by prayer and fasting. In other words, not immediately, but after setting aside time and earthly distractions to ask God for his special help. We might like to know more about this different kinds of demons and how they're supposed to respond to different kinds of exorcisms, but Scripture didn't see fit to tell us about that, so we shouldn't be distracted by it. In fact, Jesus didn't even tell his own disciples about it ahead of time, but only now, after the fact. The point is, if God's power and help don't appear immediately, don't give up. Be steadfast in faith and be earnest in prayer. And yes, even use fasting if necessary. The flesh grows lazy when it's full, and sluggish when it's satisfied. And there are times when it's necessary to set aside earthly needs and pleasures and distractions in order to give proper attention to seeking help from the unseen God against unseen enemies, especially when that help doesn't come right away. Prayer and fasting are required to confront certain kinds of demons. That brings us in a roundabout way to these Ember Days, which call us to reflect on those demons that aren't quickly cast out, or those troubles that aren't quickly resolved, for which we are in desperate need of God's help. That begins with our flesh, which takes a lifetime to subdue. And so denying it once in a while is a very healthy practice. The devil himself is not quickly subdued or turned away, but remains like a roaring lion, going around looking for someone to devour. The demons that are still exerting their malicious influence on the nations and the governments of the world are also not quickly cast out. In fact, it will only be the coming of the Lord Jesus that gets rid of them once and for all. But God will come to the aid of his people in all the ways that we need, either with outward deliverance or with the inner peace and strength we need to bear up under it until his final deliverance comes. Don't lose faith in his help. Instead, pray for it all the more. Let these Ember Days encourage you to do just that. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.